Why Manchester could get a range of new digital radio services as soon as 2018, the latest UK radio news, and a wander through the archives with David Lloyd. It's all here.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. Welcome to the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. Now, following last week's Radio Academy event in Manchester, where a number of radio people got together to discuss DAB, I've been to see Gregory Watson, MD of the multiplex owner Muxco, to discuss his proposal that Ofcom should license a new citywide multiplex. Muxco already runs multiplexes in Wrexham, Chester and nearby Liverpool, and they say there's a demand for more stations in Manchester from both customers and potential operators.
The current multiplex in Manchester, which is operated by C Digital, is full.
Here is Gregory Watson in the Muxco office in London.
And that's the easiest answer. It is full. When you look at London, we have three Greater London multiplexes, all full or pretty close to full. And they have introduced a huge array of services. Outside London, we used to have the regionals, but they got closed down by MXR. So places like Birmingham, Manchester, they only have one city-wide multiplex. Now, Manchester has got a small-scale multiplex, but that doesn't cover the whole of the city. And in a way, what we're sort of saying is, before Ofcom you advertise small scale, think about what actually we should be having. And should there be a second citywide multiplex before we do small scale? Now, we're not anti-small scale. We're not saying that small scale shouldn't happen. But it's more of what should be the first step. Because when you look at quite a lot of the services on the small-scale multiplex, you've got people like Chris Country. They want to operate citywide services. And I think, you know, there's in a way, there's the evidence that there is enough people out there who want to broadcast in those areas, that they don't want to be on small areas. They want to be getting the best multiplex, the best service. And that's why we're just sort of saying, Ofcom, have a think. Is this, should you be doing citywide multiplexes and then do small scale in those areas?
Do you think that a new multiplex in Manchester run by you would attract a new range of services? Are there going to be new radio formats that we haven't even heard of? Or are they going to largely be things that exist in some other form, possibly on the internet already?
Well, I mean, that's always a very difficult one because it's unless you're the person who's providing all those services. I mean, being a multiplex operator, you're just a gatekeeper for other people to come. But I think, you know, look at London. Just look at the breadth of choice in London when we've got Polish radio stations, we've got religious services, we've got Fun Kids operates on there. Why shouldn't London be able to be replicated, especially in Birmingham and Manchester? In Manchester, you know, it's a hub of music. And surely there are people out there who want to have that hub of music. So my one is, it's a bit like that film, you know, if you build it, they will come. I think there is enough interest and demand out there. We are seeing new formats. We've got Encore Radio, which I'm involved with, which, you know, doing a Showtime radio. People have talked about it for 20 years since, you know, Classic FM won the INR license. And suddenly people say, why haven't we done it before? It's, you know, we've got to create the opportunities for people to be able to do these things. And citywide multiplexes are the right things for those sort of services to come because they can get the size of the audience, they can therefore create an audience base, they can therefore create a commercial base.
On last week's podcast, we had one of our round tables, and yet again, the whole kind of anti-DAB thing came up. The sense that, and you must hear this all the time, the idea of, well, it's a kind of redundant, old-fashioned technology, and aren't younger listeners going straight from radio if they ever had that? But certainly they're ignoring DAB and they're using their smartphones. What's the case you can make now that DAB is still a current and worthwhile technology?
Well, I think you still just have to look at radio. I mean, that still says the answers that people are listening to radio and are listening to it through a broadcast platform. Yes, there is the internet and other forms of ways of distributing audio. But at this point in time, it isn't in my car. You know, I'm a radio lover. And, to me, it's still got legs. In 20 years' time, might not be the case. But well, what we shouldn't be doing is saying, oh, because in 20 years' time something might happen, let's not bother doing something now. Let's do it now. These multiplex licenses are awarded, they're for 12 years. You know, people are going to be able to make a business out of that now, and we will evolve into other forms of platforms. Some platforms we haven't even thought about yet. So I think, you know, let's not be sticking the muds, think and looking, always waiting for the next new technology. Let's use what we've got, which does work. What is it, like 45% of all radio listening is via digital. Majority of that is through DAB. Isn't that a good enough answer?
Give us a clue. I know this will be commercially confidential, but give us a clue how much it costs to get on a multiplex. And I know there's national ones and there's citywide ones and there's regional, what have you. There's different sizes. But, you know, if I've got a little radio format, how much money am I going to need to get on DAB in, for instance, Manchester?
Well, that is like how long is a piece of string? It all comes down to how many transmitters you use and also what sort of ethos do you have. So we run Muxco. We have 10 multiplexes within our network. I think we have shown Muxco to be a much cheaper solution to other multiplex operators.
That's why you haven't got DAB in your car, of course. You're just not charging enough, Greg.
Well, thank you. Maybe for Christmas. But no, I think it is that thing of, you know, we've created a business, which is, okay, a commercial business, but we have created a tariff structure which is of interest to people. You know, look at some of our, you know, North Yorkshire. When we launched North Yorkshire a couple of years ago, we thought, you know, it might do okay. North Yorkshire this year is now fully sold. It's one of the only multiplexes really that is fully sold in the country. And that is because we have taken on board new players. We've got a tariff structure that actually is not trying to ruin entrants to come on board, but actually is creating opportunities for them to come on and grow their business.
So a few hundred, a few thousand. We're not talking millions, though.
We're not talking millions, but we're probably talking tens of thousands every year, yes.
Okay, so in you were just talking about a potential future here. Where do you see us in the short term? I mean, at what point are we going to have enough DAB to enable somebody somewhere in government to say, right, that's it, FM, you're off?
Well, I think everybody's saying this by this time next year, so December 2017, audience radio should be saying that we should probably over 50% digital. So I think that, yes, this time next year, government will start, as they've said, start doing that review of a switchover.
It'd have to how be done long, over a long period.
How
it?
Long that will take to do that review, I do not know. And obviously the government has got a few other things on its agenda that's slightly more important than analog switch off. I don't think it will be a very speedy turnaround. I think it might take them a year or 2 years before they even start making that announcement for doing switch off.
And what's the timescale for Manchester? You're going to write to Ofcom. What's your hope with that?
We're discussing it with Ofcom. We think, Ofcom are going to do their consultation with DCMS, I imagine, about small scale next year, 2017. What we're just saying is, Ofcom, whilst you are doing that, just have a look. You've got all this spectrum. Have a think, first of all, as what is the right use for it? Should there be a third national commercial multiplex? Should there be city-wide multiplexes? Should it all be just small scale? Have that discussion whilst you're doing that consultation. You know, I think at the earliest that Ofcom might advertise, if we were lucky, these licenses would be, you know, autumn 2017, which would mean autumn 2018 for a multiplex potentially to launch.
Gregory Watson, thank you. Nice Christmas woolly, by the way.
Thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Let's have some news now. Here's Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Trevor. And these are this week's top stories from the Radio Today newsroom. Tributes have been paid this week to Global's head of procurement, Carlton Dale, who's died after an 8-month battle with brain cancer. He worked in radio for more than 3 decades, including 10 years as managing director at Leicester Sound under GWR in the 90s, before taking on group roles with the firm and then staying on as it became GCAP, then Global. He'd started out as a sales exec and then operations manager at Mercia Sound in Coventry in the 80s. We also say goodbye this week to popular voiceover Dave Barrett, who passed away suddenly. He was well known in the West Country in particular for his work at BBC Radio Bristol, GWR and Brunel FM and a few others, and notably did a late night talk show on GWR for many years. He also worked at GLR in London and Talk Radio, and if you don't recognise the name, you'll certainly recognise Dave's voice from the many radio commercials that he starred in.
As a landlord, you're looking for someone to care for and manage your property. That's why more owners are turning to Davier Lettings Bureau. Corby's largest independent furniture warehouse furniture clearance outlet is offering rock bottom prices across the store this Easter. There are a million ways to make your Weetabix breakfast tastier.
Dave Barrett there, who died this week. Tony Blackburn's return to the BBC is going to happen on the 31st of December. He's on the Radio 2 schedule to host a New Year's Eve soul party between 8 and 11 in the evening. Tony takes over the Friday night 7pm slot, previously done by Desmond Carrington, from the new year. That'll be 11 months on from his departure on the day the Dame Janet Smith Inquiry report was published. Radio Caroline has asked Ofcom for permission to run a 1 kilowatt transmitter. The station's applied for a community radio licence, which it says will serve a community interest group across East Anglia. If it gets a licence, it could be on air in time for the 50th anniversary of the Marine Offences Act next summer. Two more community stations, meanwhile, are going off air. Pulse in Cheddar in Somerset says it'll shut down on New Year's Eve after 3 years because of situations beyond its control. And Tulip Radio in Spalding, Lincolnshire, has closed this week. It had been on full time since 2008 and ran many RSLs in the years before that. The station says a lack of volunteers is to blame. Donalda McKinnon is the new director of BBC Scotland. She's taken over from Ken Macquarie, who's become director of Nations and Regions at the corporation. The new .radio domain name extension is going to be officially launched at next month's European Radio Show in Paris. Stations will be able to apply for a .radio domain for their station or brand. The free event takes place on the 29th to the 31st of January in the French capital. And programmers want that competition to keep running to build interest and talkability, but spare a thought for The Bay in Lancaster. Its secret sound has just been correctly guessed this week after 22 months. Yeah, the sound was of a webcam rotating. Easy when you know. And a listener picked up £8,620 for working it out. And that's it for this week. From radiotoday.co.uk, I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Stu. Your weekly fix of David Lloyd after this.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
I think you'll remember this. It's 11 years this week since they decided to halve the amount of ads on Capital in London.
You could look at it now and say, well, it was a flawed policy, but it was the only thing that we could think of at the time when we had no other weapons to protect the cost per thousand. And I genuinely believe, had we not done that, then, you know, the revenue would have fallen off a cliff.
Ralph Bernard, then in charge of Capital's parent company, GCAP. And staying with Capital, this week, 42 years ago, what's this reported in the Telegraph? Capital Radio has overspent its launch budget by £125,000. Oh, dear. This week last year, a farewell at Radio 4.
But it is inescapably a moment of change because you can't sit in this chair working with such talented and decent producers without being woven into the fabric of the programme, which I am, and with all the presenters down the years, especially Sarah, Justin and Michelle in recent times, as well as my old friend here, with whom I started and with whom I now finish. I'll be giving them my thanks, but all of you who listen need to be thanked too. You are the programme. Thank you. Our editors were Terry O'Neill and Tim DeFarman, from John and from me. Good morning.
He only just made it, didn't he? Jim Nocte saying a farewell to the Today programme on Radio 4 this week in 2015, after 21 years. And how did he sound when he started out?
Good morning to you from James Nocte and John Humphreys. It's Monday, the 28th of February.
Much the same, by the sounds of it. Another goodbye this week 4 years ago, as Robin Lustig resigned from Radio 4's The World Tonight.
I have had the most wonderful 23 years on the programme. I've learnt something new every single day. I've had a huge amount of fun. Most of all, I want to thank our listeners. I want to thank you, because you're the reason we do what we do. And it doesn't really matter where you are, whether you're in the bath or in bed. Don't even mind if you're already half asleep, as long as you're still half listening, as long as you're interested. That's what makes it all worthwhile. So thank you, all of you. Do keep listening.
Robin Lustig saying goodbye this week, 4 years ago from the world tonight after 23 BBC years. Now, this voice made its debut on LBC this week in 1979.
Transport Minister Nicholas Ridley is confirming that the government is considering bringing in troops to replace striking dockers. He says the government won't stand by and watch the country brought to a standstill.
Yes, a very serious Steve Allen, who started officially with LBC this week in 79. Steve had been working at UBN before that, which was the Biscuit Factory radio station, which closed that same week.
And then on the 19th of December, which is when it closed, we were all there. We'd got all the past presenters, or as many as we could find, to record their goodbyes to UBN. So we got everybody saying, you know, thank you very much indeed.
Hi, this is Steve Allen. When I first joined UBN 4.5 years ago, I never realised that one day it would close. It's more than a job, it's a family, a way of life. We're also one of the best teams around.
The time is 3 o'clock on Wednesday, the 19th of December, 1979. UBN is now closing down.
Farewell UBN this week in 79. Biscuit Factory Radio, based where Sky is now. And with so few stations around back then, UBN was a training ground for so many of those early commercial radio broadcasters. Now, we've all done it, haven't we? Struggled on with no voice. Jeremy Vine tried his best this week last year.
Stranglers, always the sun. Jeremy Vine here, determined to get to 2 o'clock and straight to bed after that. Producer Tim Johns is with us, thankfully, to tell us about, because yesterday we had two Shetland ponies in the studio, right?
I'll do some talking.
You go on.
On your behalf.
You go ahead.
Yes, well, we've been talking about this for a few weeks because it took a bit of a...
Jeremy Vine and producer Tim Johns with his national radio debut, and a day he's not going to forget in a hurry. This week in 1957, Al Priddy was sacked from 1190 KEX in Portland. He dared to play Elvis.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yes, Al was sacked for playing Presley's White Christmas. His bosses said it wasn't the spirit we associate with Christmas. Talking of sackings, Ian Trethewen was in charge of the BBC when Kenny Everett was sacked. And Ian died this week 26 years ago. Before being DG, he'd been director of radio.
I then had three meetings with ever larger groups of BBC governors, and finally I was the third session was in front of the whole board. And there was a very nice governor, Dame Mary Green, who in the middle of this said, how many people have you ever managed? And I said, well, when I was deputy editor of ITN, I think I had under my command 23 or something like that. And she turned to Hugh Green, who was then, was a governor, had been director general, and said, how many would he have under him if he were managing director of BBC Radio? And Hugh, with some relish, because I don't think he wanted me to have the job, said 4,000.
Ian Trethewen, the BBC's ninth Director General, in post from 77 to 82. He died this week in 1990. And talking of BBC bosses, this week in 1922, little John Reith turned up in his best suit for a job interview. The post was General Manager of this new BBC thing. He later said, I didn't have the remotest idea what broadcasting was. Imagine appointing a BBC leader who hadn't got a background in broadcasting. Perish the thought. Staying with John Reith, he was on continuity duty this week 80 years ago, and December the 10th was a big news day.
This is Windsor Castle. His Royal Highness Prince Edward.
At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own.
Yes, the King decided he'd rather not bother being King anymore. This week in 1936, radio broke the story. Did you hear that bang as well? It was suggested that Reith had stormed out the studio in disgust, but he later explained he just banged the table. Careful, John. So with Sunshine Radio in Hereford launching 9 years ago...
But a radio station that truly is, for the first time, based in Hereford.
John Snow being first to use a radio telephone for live commentary 41 years ago on LBC.
A gunman with a white handkerchief has literally just come out...
The death of early Housewife's Choice presenter George Elric 17 years ago. And the first DAB set under £100 this week, 15 years ago.
Marconi made it.
Those are this week's...
And we love it.
Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Oh, yes, he can edit too. The versatile David Lloyd, author, radio executive, and occasional DJ. He'll be back on next week's pod, and we'll also have an extended Christmas edition of Radio Moments on December the 28th. Meanwhile, this has been a TDC production. Thanks to Gregory Watson. Thanks to you for listening. And ta-da.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.